Ancient. Everyone, we're gonna catch you up on some things. Hello, how's it going? It's me, Amani. Just trying to do a quick, actually, it's gonna be a lot of things. There's gonna be a patch notes and a minisode at the same time. We're rolling them into one because, first off, the episode that we were supposed to get for last Sunday had some major audio issues going on in it, and it's not unfixable. But it's just going to take more time than I originally had. I've been meaning to get this particular thing out, but I have been busy to let you know just what's happening. So that's a thing. The episode is still coming. In fact, you'll get more than likely two episodes because there's still going to be a recording and everything like that happening at the same time. Glad to get that out there. Knowing that that's coming, you guys are definitely getting two podcast episodes coming up, and I apologize for that taking so long. But to make up for that, we have the minisode in this episode that tells you the little tidbits of stuff that we didn't get to cover, and also just talk about a bunch of stuff that we did get to cover, because the episode's not out, so, it's a good episode though, but I don't know what the deal is, and I have to go figure out why it's doing what it's doing. Speaking of things falling apart, because apparently everything's falling apart on the channel right now, these streams, the last couple streams lately have been on a weird path. I promised, even in the latest episode, I promised that we would probably be able to get those episodes out because I've had them being recorded. It seems that OBS is doing some weird stuff as far as both recording and streaming things. It's really strange. Sometimes it works because the episodes that we stream for Halo and stuff like that, those work surprisingly just fine. I feel like sometimes that we stream PC games, it freaks out. I know it should be better on PlayStation games now. It's really weird. It's like it's the stream is hampering down on the bits, basically. And for some reason, it's jacking it up and causing weird frame rate issues. So like on my side and the gang side, when we're playing, everything's running smoothly. In fact, the recent one that we did, Duelists of Eden, for some reason, we went to do the stream, restarted it, and because initially it wasn't running properly, we restarted the stream, it didn't want to come up, we decided to just record it instead, and for some reason, even the recording screwed up. The recording was way off with the frame rate and everything like that, even though despite everything, the game was running fine, and even in the preview window where we were looking at everything, it was running fine. So I actually just don't understand how the recording screwed up. But apparently, there was a thing about how we are technically doing too high quality of a stream. Or I guess maybe too high quality of the recording. I want to look more into the recording stuff. Because even if the stream doesn't work, because sometimes the stream decides that it wants to work and sometimes it doesn't. But even if that doesn't happen, there is a backup for you guys to watch ultimately on the channel, on YouTube. And I definitely want to fix the recording part predominantly because, I mean, we could fix the stream, but the stream is kind of, it's all over the place. Stream is going to take a little bit more time because there's so many variables going on with it. Whereas the recording, it's just weird that it doesn't work, if that makes any sense. But I'm looking into that. It's being dealt with currently. I'm going to see if I can try to get that working and figure that out. I've tried messing with some things to make sure that it's going to be streaming properly. There's probably going to be a bunch of test streams I'm probably going to do in the coming days to mess around with it, just to kind of figure it out. So don't worry if I go live or anything like that. It's nothing. You're not going to really miss anything. That being said, I'm going to try to keep going on with Halo because that's working. And the gaming streams are, I'm not going to say on a hiatus, as long as I can get them to work, they'll be up. But if they're not working, it's gonna be like, obviously, it has to be fixed, and we're working on that. But I wanted to let you guys know that we know what's happening. Well, we know that it's happening, and that there's none of this is supposed to be happening. We're working on trying to fix it. It's really weird because you go from doing a stream and doing something like that, and everything's working. Nothing changes in the setup, but then the next time you put it back on, it just decides, nah, nothing is working. It's amazing. But that being said, I guess we'll say going on from there, we're definitely working out those kinks. So don't worry, we'll be getting to that. I want to get you guys up. I'm so sad that there's like not a Duelist of Eden one. I want to do another one at some point, but it's all a matter of getting the gang together, and it's pretty disheartening for them to know that, we did a whole stream on something and it just for 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, and none of it is usable. So, but that's gonna be something we're gonna work on. Same thing with a bunch of other games that we're trying to do. There's a lot of stuff that we actually wanna do. As well as let me, I guess, get into the mini-sode portion of this entire thing, because I think that's everything that's going on that's like a big. Oh, my bad. There's one other thing I want to do. So, for a while now, we've had an Instagram, but we don't really do anything with the Instagram. It's pretty much just been there to announce streams and stuff like that, and we used to do to put up art, but some of the artwork would never fit properly and things like that. And also, I figured out how to do that a little bit better, which is dumb of me for not knowing how to use Instagram properly, but that's a whole other thing. But we have decided to actually use, for now, the Instagram as the storefront. So you will be seeing more of our, like, the merchandise is going to be on the Instagram. You guys can look at that, take a little peeksies, see what you like, or order something accordingly. And to make it a little bit more, I guess, user-friendly, rather than emailing us your order and everything like that, you could just text us on the message. Because I'll be able to see exactly who it's going to and everything like that, and I have it all in, like, a great big list. It'll work out fine. But you guys can actually utilize the Instagram in order to order some of the things if you would like. Which I think is a better way of doing it than just, emailing. You guys get to see what things look like a little bit better. So, kudos on that one. We're gonna use that until we can properly get up a nice page. We're working on that. That's on its way. It's kind of been a slow process. I'm trying to make sure everything's getting ready to dole out and everything's good and perfect, because we have a tendency to think everything is fine and then it falls apart at the last second. So, we're doing that. But as far as everything else goes, you guys can do it through that if you would like to get yourself some gear. Besides that, now we can roll into the mini-sode portion of the show. So, for those of you who have missed the last episode, which everyone has at the time of this recording, we're gonna go down some of the crazy stuff that came out last week. And then, obviously, with next week coming up and the podcast kind of coming out probably tomorrow, actually, after tomorrow, that's Sunday, you'll get a big, fresh, new update as well. But we're gonna do the rundown. What we got first is we have a Lego X Mario Kart thing. It's a nice little teaser. It's a little weird, but kind of cool, ultimately. We have more X-Men 97 news. We have the Astonishing 90s trailer. Can't wait till this comes out. This is coming out really soon. Let me just do a little quick-see look to see at when. March 20th. There we go. March 20th, we're getting X-Men 97th. That's 4 days away for us, so that's always great. Overwatch 2 is getting a Cowboy Bebop crossover. We have I almost called him McCree. Well, yeah, that's it's McCree. Cole Cassidy, I think, is his new name, right? Cole Cassidy as Spike. We have Hamster, I forgot what his name is, as technically Ines. We have Sombra as Ed, which I thought was kind of cool. I actually think Cole Cassidy as Spike fits, and same thing with Sombra as Ed. It actually looks pretty nice. Ash is Jill Valentine, and Jet is the new one, the Samoan guy. I don't remember his name. He looked cool though, but because I mean, I haven't really been playing Overwatch since 2 came out, actually. I haven't touched it since 2. So, just in general, that's a thing. So it's the new guy. The one with the dual cannons, he's playing. He's Jet. I think it's kind of a cool crossover. It's a little weird that they've been doing it, but they did the One Punch Man one, and I think they did another one. It's just always kind of weird to see them crossover with like anime, but it's fine at the same time. It works, right? If they take the time to make it look good, it looks good, right? We also have a custom motorcycle, some more custom motorcycle gameplay for Sandlands. Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. We also discussed that a little bit and how influential he is. Let's see. We have the Amir Zone, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a first-person puzzle game. Yeah, first-person puzzle game. We have a bunch of Dragon's Dogma 2 coverage because, I mean, they've been dropping trailers like left and right. So we have a gameplay overview, and I believe two. Yeah, we have two class overviews on here as well. We have the Magic Archer and the Mystic Spearhand vocations. I'm currently going back through the first game to beat the Dark Arisen DLC, as a Magic Archer when what's in the first one. I'm probably gonna be playing a Magic Spear Hand in the new one. I'm probably also gonna do a stream, maybe two streams on Dragon Dogma 2. I don't think I'll be playing. I'm going to play through the whole thing, but I don't think I'll be playing through the whole thing on the channel. It's kind of a big game, to be honest. And don't worry, I'm trying to get everything fixed out with the streams and stuff like that. I promised you guys a Spider-Man 2 New Game Plus run through. I'm going to do that. Don't worry. But for now, we gotta figure out the stuff with the streams. We also have, let me go back up. We have Kunisugama. Path of the Goddess. This was this really interesting looking, just to, as a quick reminder, really interesting spirit, like Chinese, like Japanese, actually, specifically, my bad, not Chinese. Japanese spirit looking game, from Capcom that looked really sick. We now have a proper gameplay trailer. It looked like originally a character action game. We now know that it's kind of a mix of a character action game and tower defense, which to me, I'm like, okay, that's different. I'm gonna check that out. And I recommend going looking at this because it's quite, I mean, I described it in a sentence, but what is going on is actually quite fascinating. I think you actually draw out the path that they take and you work with the villagers in order to kind of like create this kind of like a path of destruction to make sure that the demons don't actually like destroy the village. It's very fascinating. I recommend checking it out and just looking through it just so you can have a better understanding. I hope this game is very successful, basically. It looks really cool. We also have Arcadian. Yeah, Arcadian. It's a movie coming out with Nicolas Cage. This one looks kind of cool. I'm trying to see the preview for it, but it looks chubby. So we're not gonna worry about it for now. But Arcadian looks really cool. Recommend it. Let me be. Okay. Later on, we also have the Fortnite Battle Royale Chapter 5, the Season 2. That title is getting way longer than it needs to at this point. I've never realized. We have the Myth and Mortals trailer, which big takeaway is that they're adding the Greek gods. The biggest takeaway actually is that Korra's in it and they're gonna have bending stuff. That's cool. Some of the stuff that they did is they replaced the metals with these different powers. You can fly around with wings now, and I mean the wings are a specific weapon, and you have certain abilities from like the Greek gods. I think you have like the lightning thing from Zeus and a whip from Hades. That's kind of cool, along with a suite of new weapons as they always do. So that one's interesting. We played a little bit of it. I think the overall consensus in our group is that it's kind of mid until Korra comes out because, you know, bending. We're hoping to see if anybody else pops up. And Pele recently revealed to me that apparently a leak happened with Fortnite, revealing that we might be getting a One Punch Man thing in it. Just wanted to put that out there as a possibility that might show up. So, you know, there's that. Might just have a some type of One Punch Man collaboration. Personally, I want my Geno skin. I'll take a Saitama skin too. I'm not even gonna front, but I want a Geno skin. But we'll see who else they decide to put in ultimately. We also have the first Berserker Kazan extended trailer, which gives us a bit more of what this game is supposed to be, but it's still kind of confusing. It's obviously a action game, heavy on the combat. It's not clear. We were trying to figure it out actually ourselves, whether or not it's trying to do more Dark Souls combat or God of War combat. And there is a difference between the two, because we obviously see like big executions, enemies, normal enemies don't look difficult at all to beat. And it looks more like God of War when you're fighting them. But when the moment we see a big boss appear on the screen, it's looking as if it is more like Bloodborne or Code Vein, in that realm of like those light Souls-esque boss fights that like you and your opponent aren't really on the same level. Because like God of War boss fights either do one of two things. They're either massive, but you can still stun them, or they're your size and you can still stun them, but they fight you to an extent, and it's a more of a back and forth. There's more reactionary to it. Whereas with First Berserker, there seems to be like an emphasis on dodging and not getting hit, because like it's a rough time for you. Granted, God of War, obviously, you know, you don't want to get hit in those games, but the original ones, I should say, the classic God of War games. In those games, you don't want to get hit, obviously, but like there's a significantly less punishing situation that happens if you get hit in those games versus if you get hit in something like Code Vein or Dark Souls or Bloodborne. It's like, you know, a quarter of your health versus like 50 to 60% every time. I'm hoping, genuinely, not a huge fan of Souls games, as you guys know on the channel, we love them, but like, personally, I'm hoping that this is more in the vein of classic God of War, because we just don't have a game like that currently right now, and it'd be nice to just have something. We also have, and this one's a cool one, we have Abyss X-Zero. So, this is a game that we have talked about on the podcast before as a keep an eye on, and officially, it has a trailer. The game looks cool. It still has that PlayStation 1 aesthetic with a zoomed-in character action kind of a feeling, a little bit of adventure. Apparently, they have dungeons and stuff going on, which is going to be fun. A little bit of, so specifically, it's a 3D Metroidvania with carefully crafted dungeons, things of that nature, but done by a studio, Pixelpunk. So this is looking really cool. I want to talk to them as soon as possible, just because I would like to just discuss, because a ton of this is my aesthetic for a video game. I'm not gonna front. So I kind of wanted to see what the thought process is on going through it and making this. It's really cool. Highly recommend checking it out. They got some cool tones and stuff like that going through it. Fun times, right? You can wishlist it based on this trailer. You can wishlist it on Steam. So it's on its way. We'll obviously see more about it when it comes up. Let's see. What else do we got? Okay, so we have Valiant Hearts Homecoming, which, as we were looking at it, at least for us, we were unclear as to whether or not this was a remake of this game or a sequel. I, based on like the description and everything like that, think it's essentially like a re-release of Valiant Hearts, but whether it's a re-release or a sequel or whatever it is, I recommend you play it, because Valiant Hearts is a really, really cool, unique art style type game, and it hurts. And that sounds like a weird selling point, but if you like games that like impact your soul, Valiant Hearts is one of those games, and I just can't not recommend something like that, because I'm a huge fanned and pushed for storytelling in video game all the time. You guys hear me do it literally all the time. So go check it out. Go look at it. Go have fun. Enjoy. It's going to be kind of cool, right? We also have Signs Over the Damned, which this is a horror versus horror game. Yeah, so I'm going to take a unique experimental horror experience in first person. I am trying to look at the preview for this right now so I can get like just a little quick scrub. Because granted, we looked at this a little bit ago, like it's been earlier in the week. So I'm going back through to just check them. It looks like it's horror puzzle going on. Very trippy situations going on. A lot of mazes and stuff like that going on. It's kind of cool. This is the release date announcement. Kind of cool. Go check it out. Look at the trailer for that one. Obviously, we have the Spider-Man 2. I'm talking about Spider-Man 2 Game of the Year stuff. This is everything involving the new game plus and everything like that. I'm going to talk about it here because I don't think I mentioned it in the podcast itself. But Spider-Man 2 has been going through a lot of stuff. The new game plus stuff has, obviously, the dev menu is in the game. And we've had another grouping of leaks. One of the leaks, spoilers, and possibly spoilers incoming. Actually, very possible spoilers incoming. But the DLC seems to be involving, Ed 3, 2, 1, Beetle. We're pretty much going to be getting a Beetle DLC from the sounds of things. Which is fun, because it is not I don't know exactly what we're doing, but we're getting Janet. Is the deal. Anybody that knows comics, we know we're getting Janet Beetle, which is kind of fun, right? We're getting the later version of Beetle, not the older version, which I don't mind the older version, but you know, it is what it is. I think Janet's kind of cool and has been a really cool introduction, so obviously we're gonna be directly involving people like Tombstone and things of that nature because of it. Super cool, can't wait. And I think we know about, like, a Spider-Verse DLC that's also coming along the lines. But we'll see how that plays out, right? I will also talk about this, because I can talk about this, because we didn't get a chance to say anything about it. But we do know about the leaked Spider-Verse game that was planning. The trailer got leaked. A lot of people have been really kind of excited and also kind of, like, disappointed that it got canceled. Personal opinions, personally, I think it's okay that it got canceled. It's okay. It looked a little jank initially to me. It just didn't look like it was coming together as well as it could have, based on the trailer. And my personal gripe with the idea of that Spider-Verse game is, I would have preferred a 4-player experience rather than I think the 6 or 7 people they have running around in the game, or like a bunch of spider people constantly swinging around in it. That was kind of be more of an MMO kind of thing. I prefer a more personalized experience with that game. 4-player co-op experience would have been nice. You pick very specific Spider-Men from across the universe, or Spider-Women, Spider-People, honestly. Obviously, the given would have been, like, Peter and Miles. They have Spider-Gwen in there, off-rip, which was like, okay, cool, just put Spider-Gwen off-rip, that makes sense. The idea of Scarlet Spider was cool, but I don't think he needs to be his own character, unless you really want to emphasize the fact of that. There's, for some reason, a big emphasis on Venom in there, too. It's not a bad idea. I think Agent Venom would have been a good pick. But, like, just picking, like, 4 different distinct spider people, much like a co-op version of Shattered Dimensions, I think probably would have been the best move. Just, like, something of that nature. 2099 would have been actually a really good one. Just bring him back. It would have worked, right? So, just co-op version of 2099, co-op version of Shattered Dimensions, as a game, probably would have worked. I don't think having it be this big multiplayer, most likely going to be games as a service type thing, where you're constantly picking multiple different variants of Spider Person, and then like you customize them. It's just, it's a little much to me at the very least, because my when I think of Spider-Man in the Spider-Man game, I want to play certain characters specifically. Silk, obviously, being one of them that's coming, but I can understand what I'm wanting to hold off, right? But that's that. Battlefront, we have Star Wars Battlefront, the classic collection. The launch trailer came out. Apparently, it's not launching to very good reviews right now. For some reason, it's 60 gigs. I have no reason why that game is 60. No idea. No clue why that game could be 60 gigs. They're apparently working to patch some things, but it's not falling apart, but it's not in a good state by any means. It's the best way I could describe from what I understand. On better sides of the news, we have Helldivers 2, the new Warbound trailer. Yeah, Warbound Cutting Edge is coming out. This is a new Warbound that's going to be like basically their new season pass. It's going to be available forever because that's how Helldivers like 2 works. All their season passes are available for you to pick and unlock things from at your leisure for forever. So that's gonna be fun. In this one, we have 3 new armor sets. They actually are all fire, so I want all of them personally. Especially that last armor, the full silver looking helmet. That one's really cool. That's my new helmet for sure. But they have that. We have a laser assault rifle, that shoots like automatic fire with like the coil energy thing being done. We have a laser pistol, which is known as the dagger, which is kind of cool. We have a plasma shotgun and an electric shotgun. Now, the deal is with the plasma shotgun is that it actually acts like a grenade launcher, despite it being a shotgun, which is crazy. But it shoots out a bolt of plasma that then goes and explodes, which is fascinating on its own, right? So I think that's kind of cool. And then the stun grenade is the other thing that they introduce in it. Everything else is obviously cosmetic bits and pieces. I mean, even the armor technically is cosmetic bits and pieces, but those are the functional things that are in it. But super cool. Recommend like hopping on Helldivers 2 if you haven't been playing Helldivers 2. Not to overhype it, but like, why aren't you playing Helldivers 2? If you have friends, I guess is the best way. If you don't have friends, probably it's an alright game to play by yourself, but I definitely think it's one of those games that's just automatically better if you have like a squad of people and you don't have to worry about the people being kicked, which I guess is another thing that I'll step into. So for every good thing, there's a bad thing. Helldivers 2 is still struggling, like the developers, Arrowhead, are still just struggling to get people to just not kick each other for stratagems. You can't get rid of toxic behavior, I guess. It's kind of the deal. It's kind of difficult to balance away around that. They specifically didn't put multiplayer in that way, like versus multiplayer in the game, because they didn't want to deal with toxic behaviors. It's one of the reasons. The other reason is the game is literally just not built for like combat in that way. It's never been built for that. It's not that it couldn't work, but it just doesn't make sense for how they've made everything. So for those of you that are wondering why it doesn't have PvP, it doesn't work well with PvP. It's just not built like that. But you know, big deal is that people are not like people are kicking people over the fact that they don't have what we would say meta stratagems, and I think that's stupid. It's just, I guess I kind of get it when you get into the higher content, well, the highest content, like if you're doing like Suicide and Helldiver, you'd want something that would be effective against what you're dealing with, but at the same time, there is no reason to kick people for using lesser stratagems. Maybe they just don't have the crazy other stratagems, maybe they're feeling bored or want to be experimental. Allow them? Because it's a co-op experience, and as long as you guys complete the mission, in fact, as long as you complete the mission, you guys don't even have to extract for it to be a success. So, like, why people are even being this toxic about, like, simply playing a co-op game that's meant to be enjoyed and chilled, and, I mean, I say it's a relaxing experience, and it can be a relaxing experience, but it's also kind of stressful because there's a lot of bugs and obviously robots shooting at you. But, like, it is just a fun experience. Like, it's dumb to like get mad about dying or anything like this in this game. Like that's how it's built, because you're gonna die often. You're gonna run into problems often. They expect you to. You're gonna get killed by your teammates often. It just happens. They give you more than enough laws to kind of essentially brute force your way through it. You actually have significantly less lives if you are a single player, so like it's almost incentivized for you to just play it with friends so that you can constantly mess up and screw up and have fun. But I don't understand gatekeeping like this in this kind of game, and people should probably stop. It's just that simple. But that's just me and my two cents on it. I don't think it's really going to do much in order to stop other people that are toxic like that. And I feel like most of our community that's listening to us already understands just not to be a dick. That's just the general rule of thumb for us for the most part. It's just don't do that, right? But moving on, we have Project Tower, which is, I hate to say it, it's a poor man's version of Returnal. The game looks interesting. There's definitely some fun stuff going on, but it's also a little like, it's got some jank. It's got some jank. And I'm hoping that it's a nice surprise, because to be honest, Returnal was a really cool game. And I feel like I should probably do a stream of that one now that I think about it, because I haven't played Returnal in a minute. And that, again, is a really fun game. We'll probably see if we can just do a run through. I'm probably gonna be really rusty on that game. I don't even remember the certain enemy types, but it's wild. But speeding along, because we might as well. We also have Wild Robot. Beautiful looking movie. Have no idea what any of the actors in this movie are gonna be doing, because based on this trailer alone, no one should be talking. Just dead ass no one. So no clue. Not a single clue as to who and why everyone in this is talking. And it's a star-studded cast. We have Lupita Nyong'o, we have Pedro Pascal, we have Mark something, because I can't read his last name right now. Mark, is it Mark Hamill? Hold up. I want to see now. Is it Mark Hamill? Just give me a second. Come on, show me the rest. Because I see the Mark. But it's a Mark M-A, and then that's it. And I'm like, oh, why won't you just show me everyone. Yeah, Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's in it. And I'm like, we have Mark Hamill, Kit Connors, Billy Nye, Stephanie Hugh, and Catherine O'Hara. Catherine O'Hara. And I'm just kind of like, based on this trailer alone, if anybody wants to, actually, you should just look at the trailer for it. It's really nice. But based on this trailer, it's not a single word of dialogue in it. And I'm just kind of like, we all kind of look at it and go like, you know what? Why is there anyone talking in this movie? Why do we have a voice cast at all? But that's just how we're looking at it on that one. That's just how we feel. Moving on, because it does look like a cool one. We have The Dragon is Dead, which has some beautiful pixel art. It's a cool Metroidvania in the same kind of scale of, like, let's say Blasphemous. It's got, like, that beautiful, pixel art that kind of is super detailed. And it's like, yeah, nah, I'm fighting some shit. This is how I feel about it. We also have... we have Mediterranean Inferno, which, you know, the less said about this one, kind of the better. Just kind of have to check it out. The description really talks about explore the inner demons of three childhood friends on a summer retreat. So have fun with that, because attempting to describe this is just not worth it. I mean, like, not worth it, but like, it's just, that's energy I can't do. I can't do it, and I don't have it in me, and the best way I can describe it is you should just go look at it and see what it is, because, man, it threw me for a loop the first time I saw it. We also have Vindictus, defying fate, Which I originally thought this was expansion, but apparently this is actually like a cinematic like game, like their own. They're doing a high speed, which I mean, Vindictus Combat. If anybody's played the MMO, for Vindictus, which if you haven't, and your PC can run it, because it's kind of high end. Give it a shot, for sure. But Vindictus is a high speed, action MMO. And they're doing a single player game, kind of like how Black Desert is doing a single player game, now. But it's focused on like it being an RPG in general, like it's a action RPG. So I'm gonna probably play this when this comes out because Vindictus has always been kind of cool. I want to get further in this game, but like I don't remember how to log in. So yeah, I'm probably just gonna have to restart. In fact, I might actually do that in a bit. But let's go. We have Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We got the final trailer for it. So I mean, this is looking kind of fun. By all means, guys, go check it out. It looks like a blast. Looks like a blast, genuinely. We also have Genshin Impact, and it's version 4.5, which is crazy that there's so many. We have Delivery Girl. We have literally Cat Delivery Girl, which is cute, and Ninja. I think she's a flame. I think she's fire. We have Ninja. We just Ninja chick, right? Go check out this one. I mean, I'm probably gonna go in and just see who's cool. I always hop back in Genshin every so often now, just to kind of catch new characters, because I gotta do it. It's part of what I do. Every time they add somebody that's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, all right, that's my jam. I'm gonna have to do it. This one doesn't really speak for me. The Ninja Chick's kind of cool, but like, this one's not really my cup of tea. The cat girl's cute. Like, she's like a delivery cat girl. I like how like her little thing has a lot to do with like delivering stuff, actually, like attending to a little package. It's cute, right? But not something I'm summoning on, but maybe something you might summon on. So go look at it. A big surprise, we got a world premiere for The Sinking City 2. So that one's gonna be a fascinating one. For those that don't know about The Sinking City, it's Cthulhu. It's a third person shooter, survival horror, I would probably say, yeah. Taking place with Lovecraft, basically in a Lovecraft city known as The Sinking City, and it's trippy. Italy. So check it out, guys. Go look at that. Look at the trailer for that. You have Thorgal, which I don't remember what this is, but it's an action RPG that might make you want to like look at it a little bit. I'm gonna take a little PC through the trailer. Okay, yeah. So the trailer is an announcement trailer that like just kind of lets us know what's happening, but there's no gameplay. But take a look at it, and maybe it might interest you just based on the setting. It's giving you like a mood, a feeling. We also have the Night Wanderer, which this is the weirdest trailer. This is one of the weirdest trailers we have on here. It's not the weirdest, but it's a weird one in the sense of like I think it's. It doesn't understand what it's doing. The Night Wanderer is actually really fascinating, because what we're getting from this, and its announcement trailer, like I said, is that it's a sci-fi game taking place in it's a fantasy meets sci-fi game, which I mean I don't know what to call. I wouldn't call it high fantasy, and I wouldn't call it high sci-fi, so it's kind of weird. Maybe it is high sci-fi. Maybe it is, actually. The entire deal is that you're someone sent from space in a space pod to access this world in which I guess magic, or at least technology enhanced magic stuff, is the best way to deal with the problems here. And basically the what makes it a weird trailer is that you have this bit of narration that's happening while all of this is going on. So like someone is actually talking to you and speaking about the legend that you are, but like it's told in like an old fancy tale about like the woman from the sky and the knight that fell from the stars and everything like that. Like it's telling it as if it's like an old folks tale, which is kind of cool. I think that part's cool. Problem is that while that's happening, we have also like breathy female vocals and things of that nature happening in the background, and it just kind of, it's a little messy, especially with the fact that like it's kind of difficult to tell what the hell's going on in this one. I managed to explain it, that it's going to be this type of thing, which allows it to be a little bit more digestible. But when you're just, as a warning, going through it, even without, with, like, if, without that information, definitely one of those things where you look at it and go, like, what is this? Like, what am I, what's the plan here for this game? But it definitely has, like, the look that it could be something fascinating. I want to see more about it. It's coming when it's ready, though, so, you know, good for them. Mighty Quarry is just kind of like, look, we're doing it. Let's see what else we got on here. We got Bitcraft, Age of Automatons, which, this is cute. Nice little chill vibes, survival game. It's just about, you know, people after the fall of everything. But, you know, you're automatons, so that's kind of fun. We also have yet another fantasy title. This is deadass just GTA, but it's a fantasy game. It's a top-down. It's like the classic top-down GTAs, though. But do not let that deter you, because the idea of that is actually kind of fun. And I would definitely say it's worth like looking into, because like I said, it is actually kind of sick looking, just because of the idea that it's like it's a fantasy GTA. But it's literally called yet another fantasy title. We also have High Water, which is a puzzle adventure, action adventure game. That one's kind of fun. It looks like you're traveling through like a waterlogged world, I guess is the best way I can describe it. You're moving via boat, and you and your friends are doing your best to put together a life. It doesn't seem like it's survival based. It's post-apocalyptic, definitely, but like it seems to revolve around hugely around the idea of like actually solving puzzles and doing certain things with it. Which, if I'm not mistaken, it's out now. It actually dropped already, so you guys can check it out. I'm gonna check it out actually myself. But that's High Water. We also have Akatori, which looks way better than the last time I remember it. I don't remember it being this 2.5D style going on, but this one's really cool. By all means, check this out. Nice little action adventure game. Like I said, with a 2.5D like pixel on 3D style. I actually really love this aesthetic that's been coming out right now, and people have been doing a lot of different things. Also like the fact that our main character, I'm assuming her name is Akatori, but like I could be wrong. She uses a staff. She uses like an actual staff as a fighting thing, but it's like more like a monk staff in this kind of way. So she has hands without it. Like she's able to throw it at things, bounce off of stuff, pogo, like leap off, throw hands with it, like throw hands, then summon it back. Like it's kind of got some cool stuff going on with it. Highly recommend checking it out. Just go take some look-sees at it. You can already wishlist it already. I know I did. Yeah, it just has wishlists on Steam anyway. So we don't have a release date for it, but we'll definitely see something soon enough. We also have another Sword Art Online game, which this one looks kind of fun. It's that this one's actually an online co-op action game. But by Dimps, I didn't see that. So apparently Dimps made this one. This one looks fun. You get to play as actually all your favorite heroes from Sword Art Online all together. It reminds me weirdly enough, though I don't want to say I'm right on this one. It reminds me weirdly of Dynasty Warriors. Like, it's not not in the way of like you're fighting a ton of enemies on the screen, but it's more so the way that they treat each of the characters, right? Like Dynasty Warriors treats the characters being like, oh yeah, you get like get this, and they get their own special moves and like everything like that, and it's a huge number, like it's a roster of people on here, if that makes any sense, and you're playing in you're doing like the MMO fights of the game, right? But like everyone's pulling up to like this, and then even if it doesn't make any sense, so like Shilon's like using her stuff and some of the like the Elfheim stuff, and they're all in Irongrad, right? But like they're like different variations from them from each other. It's like people that shouldn't even actually be fighting each other, things like that, right? or it shouldn't be in the same like locations. It that's why I'm like it reminds me a bit of Dynasty Warriors in the sense of like they just kind of it's like all the warriors are here is kind of the feeling that's happening with it. Definitely worth checking out if you still like Sword Art Online. I mean, apparently these games have always been kind of like a cult following for the most part. I mean, obviously the anime is big. I've watched it. I was part of it. So like, yeah, no, I get the anime is big. But like the games themselves have always kind of had a cult following and apparently have been always a little bit better than people initially realized. So it's kind of worth checking out. I tried one of them. I tried the Gun Gale one. It wasn't bad, but I just couldn't find myself getting into it all that much. I'm not going to lie. Let's see. What else we have? We have Creatures of Ava. Creatures of Ava is kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. It gave me, what was the name of the game? There was a, basically it's got like you, Pikmin. Was it Pikmin? The idea is that you basically are kind of a Pied Piper-esque figure that is kind of helping out and one with nature. You can get different animals to help you out and do different things. Ultimately, you're trying to just save, Power World actually is the other thing it gave me vibes of. Funny enough, I don't think there's any survival elements, but definitely the idea of, like, these cute, adorable, like, creatures need your assistance and doing things and you use them to get around and do things, explore, solve puzzles. I don't think there's directly any combat in this, but there is like that adventure style stuff going on that's there, and I recommend checking that out when you can. But moving on from that, we also have Sleight of Hand. I think we talked about this one, but Sleight of Hand looks really cool. Sleight of Hand is what is basically, it looks like, because this is purely a announcement, showcase trailer, but the aesthetic of, like, it kind of has, like, a Dishonored, Deathloop style look to it. As far as, like, art style goes, but it's set into like the 1920s, 1930s, with a witch. And the idea of magic in that kind of setting actually really fascinated me in there, and this could be really cool. It is actually, we do know it's a stealth action game. My hopes is that it's a third person stealth action game, with the idea that they're using these things versus a first person one like Dishonored, because I just think it's just better to do stealth in third person than it is to do it in the first person. But that's just me. I've always kind of preferred the third person aesthetic. I like seeing my character, but there's some games that it works, like Halo being the other one that's like right underneath this. Obviously, I'd rather just play Halo in first person at this point. That being said, Halo is also here. This is the last one we got on it. They have the Cyber Showdown thing that they're releasing. So a bunch of cool looking armor sets that look very, well, honestly, they look not Halo, but they look Halo, if that makes any sense. They've done the thing where they've modularized all the armors, so like all this stuff that already exists now getting like crazy tweaks and stuff like that to them. It looks cool. I think they're doing some other stuff in here, but I can't remember. I'm looking through it right now just to refresh my memory. But they have the Cold Spawn armor, Violet Violence. I like the new visor techniques. Modulating, adapting for the shoulders. Mainly, it's just a lot of like armor stuff. I think they're adding raids, and there's a bunch of new showcases. There's a bunch of showcases for maps that have been that are on their way from like Forge. I guess they're popular ones. Some of them look really cool, honestly. I would actually just look through the trailer just to see some of the maps and see if you're interested in them. That's what's coming to Halo. Oh, and a new game mode that looks like it involves gravity hammers and flags. Because one of the first things we see is just straight up one person with a flag getting mollywopped by like every single hammer at the same time. It just looks like a rough time for them. it's a funny clip, but it's just like, dang, that's rough. But other than that, I think that would do it. Yeah, that's about it. So, as always, guys, so we'll do the whole rundown thing that I usually do. Thank you guys for always checking out with us. Thank you for sticking with us. This is, like I said, this is a patch note. And the other thing as well, it's a patch note to the minisode. We're rolling into one, and obviously it's late. It was supposed to be out a lot earlier just to let you guys understand what's happening. But like I said, I've been all over the place. I've been busy trying to just balance both this and life. So I didn't mean to get this out as late as I did. It's just been tiring. Like, currently I am recording it at like 1:51 a.m. and I have to be back at work, but I got a second win, so I was like, I could do it. Well, I have to go to work, not back at work, but I have to go to work, and I got basically got a second win. I was like, I could record this. I could definitely do this to get this up in time. So I wanted to get it up. But thank you guys for helping us out, being there with us, and bearing with us through all these crazy random growing pains that come out of nowhere sometimes. Just when I think we're set, it always flips around. But for every step backwards, we move forwards. That's kind of the deal, right? We gotta keep moving. So I'm gonna try to get that straightened out and get everything back to normal so that you guys can enjoy yourselves and get little things ready and all that stuff. Like I said, you can go check out the Instagram. Now we're gonna be using that more as the storefront for now, just to kind of show you guys stuff and things of that nature. You can check it out there. Another thing is, we're obviously, you can always hit us up at paperplayaction@gmail.com if you want to, you know, anything. Basically, you can just hit us up, send us any questions you have for us, anything like that. There is a tip box in the description below. Click on that if you want to just support the show in any way, things of that nature. Really appreciate it. But most importantly, spread the love, talk to other people about the show, let them know we exist, because it's always fun to just, you know, do that. Spread the love, because that is actually kind of our catchphrase for that one. I really enjoyed that. It's always fun. Spread the love, because we appreciate you guys, and we just want other people to pretty much appreciate you guys as much as we appreciate you, and vice versa. Have other people appreciate us as much as you guys appreciate us. So that's always fun. Thank you. And I think that's about it. We're gonna call it a good night on that one. Good night. One morning, or whenever you listen to this. Afternoon, you know the deal. Time for the mini-suit.